Thank you very much. These are the pillars that support this paper, the authors, my department, and my university. Joanne was my student, colleague in the department, the ecologist, and I'm Francis Lopez here. Increaser versus decreaser species. A lot of the ecologists in our group will know a bit more than the physiologists about these because there's quite a bit of research on rangeland species. Species that when you clip them or you graze them more, they increase. They have what we call growth compensation. They grow much faster once they're subjected to increased removal of foliage or so. And there will be some advantages to being an increaser species in terms of the turf grasses because they'll be more aggressive and probably you wouldn't have as many weed problems. They'll recover much quickly from damages due to sports and activities or so. Whereas the decreaser species, there may be some advantage to have a turf grass that doesn't grow as quickly so that you'll spend less and you have lower cost in clipping or so. We've seen that there are some species that you can have some variation among cultivars. I'll focus on Bermuda grass. These we know can tolerate very low grazing and mowing. Some of the local cultivars are called devil grass in the Caribbean because we can't seem to get rid of them. Whatever we throw at them, they always seem to come back. So this species is very aggressive, and the question was, is it an increaser species? You know, what are we working with here? Now, some of the cultivars that are commonly found in the region include some of the older ones. These will be found on cricket fields. Cricket is a game that is not popular in the U.S., but it's very popular in the Caribbean. Soccer fields. Sahara, an open pollinated variety. The Princess 77, which is an intra-specific hybrid, and you find that a lot being used on the actual cricket square, where the game is centered there. And the Tifway B419, which is the intra-specific hybrid, which you also find in some of these fields. Some of the questions that we want to answer is Bermuda grass an increaser species, or are there some differences in the cultivars that we have there? Does production increase the more we cut it? And we're also interested in what these cultivar effect and also mineral nutrient supply effect, because what has been found previously is that in the another tropical grass is Sporobula. Sporobulus, you find that if you clip it more frequently under high mineral nutrient condition, then you see that growth compensation. You don't see it under the low mineral supply. So the growth compensation may be triggered under increased clipping frequency, but maybe it will not be realized unless you provide the nutrients to support that increased growth or so. And something about what is the physiological basis. Whatever we find, we want to look at to see whether we can tell from the growth characteristics or water status, the greenness, whether we can have some explanation for whether we're finding it's an increaser species or a decreaser species. We looked at potted grass in pots, usually a one-to-one sand soil medium. In Barbados, we have some very heavy clays, and it's calcareous soils, and one-to-one sand soil medium is what we use, daily irrigation. In one study, we looked at the effects of high and low mineral nutrient supply, and we just water on Miracle-Gro at two concentrations. This will be the low level, will be the recommended level, and this will be double the recommended level. And some of the things we're looking at here is the fresh dry mass of the clippings, the turf height, which we use a modified version of the rising disc to measure turf height. Soil moisture status, we use the EC5 here, and a little bit of remote sensing, the old version of the Field Scout, which just gives you a measure of the greenness and gives you a number between probably 0 and 999. And we found that a number of about 450 indicates some very green, very good quality turf. We also did some gravimetric measurements. We're growing in pots so we can weigh them, so we can look at the effects of clipping on the evapotranspiration rates. Some of the studies that were done, first of all, we looked at the nutrient supply, high and low, different clipping intervals, 5, 10, and 15. And we went through two 15-day cycles. So the 5-day clipping treatment would have been clipped 6 times at the end of that, whereas the 10-day interval would have been clipped 3 times and 15 twice. Then we looked at comparing the varieties at the same fertilizer input level. And finally, we just looked at, not cycles, but just clipping interval. We just looked at grass at different, that had been growing for different lengths of time to look at the growth patterns and what is being affected when we clip them too early in those cycles. A result of the first experiment, we're looking at average dry matter yield of the clippings here, and basically we found no effect of the fertilizer levels, because the low level is already the recommended level. So what we're seeing here is that by watering on twice the concentration of that input, that fertilizer, we didn't have an effect on the growth rate. No, there's no interaction between fertilizer and clipping interval here. But we've seen completely the reverse of what we expect, in that as you increase the interval of clipping, so that means the highest frequency is here. At the highest frequency of clipping, every 5 days, we've seen the lowest growth rate, so which means that it's not an increase of species just based on this first trial. Based on the second trial, where we compared cultivars, pretty much we've seen the same. The B409 is doing much better. This trial was done as we go into the dry season. In Barbados, we just have a wet season and a dry season. As you go into the dry season, you water in every day, but the air is drier, and the grass doesn't do as well. The Sahara and Princess, they're here. But again, this sort of supports what we found in the first trial, that indeed, as you reduce the clipping interval, or at the most frequent clipping interval, you find in that you have the lowest production. So you sum all the weights of the clippings over that 30-day period of the trial, and you find in that it's lower than if you clip less frequently. For both the B409 and the Princess 77, we find that most of the growth is occurring between the 5 and 10, and there's not much significant difference here or here. Now, the performance of these varieties in the dry season was not as good as what we saw and when we did that trial in the wet season. We focus on the moisture content using the Decagon EC5 sensors. I gave you the data here for the B419, because that they show a much more luxuriant growth under those conditions. And we've seen what we expect, that the greater growth of the plants at every 15 days, we've seen a further more depletion in the soil water status here. So if you clip more frequently, it seems that you can maintain the water status at a much higher level than if you allow the plants to grow so large. We water in the morning, so these measurements were made in the afternoon. So this is just the depletion from field capacity down to the afternoon, what's happening there. Greenness index, a little bit of remote sensing here. The greenness index will take into account two things: the actual greenness of the tissues or chlorophyll content, and it will also include some aspects of the ground cover, because the more you clip, you'll expect more lateral expansion in the grass. We're not seeing this here. What we're seeing is pretty much what we saw when we looked at the dry matter levels, that the greenness, the highest index, is found for the plants that are clipped less frequently. Okay, so we're not seeing an increased spread, or at least this data, we're not able to separate that effect there at all. Now, let's go on to the growth measurements. We've seen now that it's most likely we're dealing with a decrease of species. We want to know what's happening in the different growth during different intervals, so that we know that when we're stopping the growth at different points, what we're actually, what process we're chopping, and so reducing the general growth rate. These points are the mean. Each point is the mean of four replications. And we did this in two ways. In order to achieve plants that on one single day will have a variation duration of growth, we had to go in at different intervals and clip plants at different times. So we did it both ways. We collected clippings in arriving at the situation with plants at different growth duration. And then once we've had those plants there, then we clip them all at one time. So you get another growth duration curve. This is for the latter curve where we cut all the plants in the same day, so the data is more tight. It's you know, you have less variation there than let's say you clip every 4 days, you collect those clippings, and you have a bit more variation in the data. Right. We found that we can use this growth curve, the Gumpert's curve. The equation fit very well. It's because the curve is very asymmetrical, as you see here. Okay, down here is completely different. So Gumpert's, that's where we decide to go. This is the version we fit, and this is the Excel, how we'll code it in Excel. We got a pretty good fit. The beauty about this equation is that the equations, the coefficients, they mean, they have some biological meaning. For instance, this coefficient here tells you that the maximum growth rate occurs at 11.097 days. That's the duration. And looking at the instantaneous growth rate, when you differentiate this curve, this equation, this is what it will peak at 11.097 days. It also tells you what's the lower plateau here, and then this plus the increase, this 246.9 is what it increases. So if you add 246 to 22.8, you'll find out where it plateaus out here. So at about 40 days, we expect it to reach the maximum growth rate. So I think this is a very useful technique because it allows us to pinpoint what is happening at different times after in the regrowth cycle, so that you know if you clip at this interval, you're taking out certain processes out of the way. Just to compare, this is the average growth rate, just the predicted versus divided by the number of days. You get the average growth rate a little bit higher than what we saw earlier on, where we get about 8. But these plants are growing on wet season conditions. We can also do the same for turf height. So we see that according to the equation, we're predicting that after 5.93 days of growth, the turf height is reaches maximum rate of increase at this point, and then it declines. Okay. Similarly, for the greenness, the rate of greening up, we could look at that, and we see that just after height reaches its peak increase, the rate of greening up reaches its peak at about 6.44 degrees for this particular batch of plants. So we know if we clip at 5 days, what we're removing, that potential is removed there, and beyond this point here. Finally, we can look at the evapotranspiration of plants at different stages of growth, and we can predict that the plant reaches the maximum rate of increase in the amount of millimeters per hour lost per day somewhere around here. So what we're looking at is that we can use this as a tool in order to determine for each cultivar that we have whether or not what is being affected when we change the clipping intervals from 5 or to 10 or to 15, so as to get an indication of what is happening. Based on what we saw here, we can conclude that Bermuda grass is a decreaser species at the tested range of clipping frequencies. But based on that growth curves, we know that if we had different intervals, if we had intervals of 15, 30, and 45, we would have reached the complete opposite conclusion, okay? Because the growth rate will be declining beyond that point. And Bermuda grass is often used in permanent pastures, so it's not unlikely that you'll have clipping intervals that are much more long in duration than what we did. So similar responses in three cultivars tested, no effect of the soil nutrient supply from based on what we tested. And we conclude that these fitted curves can be can be an additional tool that we can look at the timelines for regrowth processes after clipping. They can give us an explanation at what sort of results we should expect from these trials. Thank you very much. These were grown outdoors just outside our departmental offices. So it's full tropical conditions, normal. Our temperatures don't go below 25 usually. So 25 degrees C to 31, full light conditions. In the wet season, you have a bit of cloud cover. So that's what we had.